You're listening to Radio Hangar Aviation Talk, powered by AI, fueled by passion. Hey everybody, welcome back to Traffic Pattern. I'm Pattern, and today we're going to dig into something that has humbled more pilots than I can count: density altitude. Two words that sound simple enough in ground school, but when you're sitting at the end of a runway on a hot afternoon wondering why your airplane feels like it's barely flying, those two words suddenly matter a whole lot more. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. Great gear for pilots and aviation lovers, check them out. So here's the thing. Density altitude is one of those topics where students can nail the written test question, get it right every time, and still get caught off guard in the real world. Because knowing the definition and truly understanding what it means for your airplane on a specific day are two very different things. Let's start with the basics, and then I'm going to walk you through an actual weather briefing so you can see how this shows up before you ever leave the ground. Density altitude is the altitude your airplane thinks it's at, not the number on the altimeter, not the elevation printed on the airport diagram. It's what the air around you is actually doing to your engine and your wings. When density altitude is high, the air is thin. Your engine produces less power. Your propeller bites into less air. Your wings generate less lift. Everything your airplane does, it does worse. Three things drive density altitude: up, temperature, humidity, and the actual pressure altitude of the field. And here's the sneaky part. You don't have to be in Denver for this to matter. I've seen density altitudes over 5,000 feet at sea level airports on hot, humid summer days. That's your Cessna 172 thinking it's in the mountains when it's actually in Florida. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The textbook formula is great, but the real skill is learning to see density altitude coming before you're in the airplane. So, let's walk through this together. Let's say you're planning a flight out of a field with an elevation of about 1,300 feet. It's July. You pull up your weather briefing, and here's what you see. The surface temperature is reported at 34 degrees Celsius. That's about 93 Fahrenheit for those of you who think in freedom units. The altimeter setting is 29.82 inches of mercury, and the dew point is 22 Celsius, which tells you there's a good amount of moisture in the air. Now, the first thing I want you to do is calculate pressure altitude. You take the standard altimeter setting of 29.92, subtract the current setting of 29.82. That gives you a difference of 0.10 inches. Each tenth of an inch is roughly 1,000 feet. So your pressure altitude is about 1,300 feet field elevation plus 1,000 feet correction. That puts you at 2,300 feet pressure altitude. Now you take that pressure altitude and your temperature of 34 degrees Celsius and you go to your density altitude chart in the performance section of your pilot's operating handbook. Or if you've got an electronic flight bag, it'll do the math for you. When you work it out, you're looking at a density altitude of roughly 4,500 feet, maybe a little higher when you factor in that humidity. Let me say that again. You're at a field that sits 1,300 feet above sea level, and your airplane is performing as if it's at 4,500 feet. Now here's where the practical piece kicks in. You open your performance charts. Your takeoff distance at 4,500 feet density altitude on a standard day is significantly longer than what you'd see at 1,300 feet on a cool morning. We're talking maybe 50% more runway needed, maybe more if you're heavy. Your rate of climb drops too. Instead of that nice 700 feet per minute you're used to on training flights in October, you might be looking at 400, maybe 350 if you're near max gross weight. Those trees at the end of the runway didn't move, but your ability to clear them just changed dramatically. And this is where pilots get into trouble. They've been flying out of that same airport all winter and spring. The airplane always performed great, plenty of runway, good climb, then summer hits, and the numbers change, but the habit doesn't. The Airman Certification Standards for Private Pilot specifically call out density altitude under the performance and limitations area of operation. The examiner is looking for you to understand how to calculate it, sure, but more importantly, they want to see that you can apply it. That means on your check ride, when you're planning across country, you should be able to look at the weather, calculate density altitude, go to your performance charts, and tell the examiner what your expected takeoff roll, ground roll, and climb performance will be, and then make a go or no-go decision based on that. That's the key phrase right there. Go or no go. Because here's the uncomfortable truth. Sometimes the right answer is you don't fly, or you fly early in the morning when it's cooler, or you leave some fuel behind and make a stop, or you leave a passenger at the terminal and come back for them. These are real decisions that real pilots make, and the ones who make them wisely are the ones who are still flying. Let me give you a scenario. You're at a field in Arizona, elevation 4,800 feet. It's June. Temperature is 38 Celsius. You've got three passengers and full fuel in a Piper Cherokee 180. You run the numbers and your density altitude is over 8,000 feet. Your performance charts show you need over 2,500 feet of ground roll. The runway is 4,000 feet long with rising terrain off the departure end. Can you make it? Technically, on paper, with everything going perfectly, maybe. But what if there's a gust? What if your engine isn't putting out full rated power because the last magneto check was a little rough? What if the runway surface is soft? This is where I want you to start thinking in margins, not minimums. Just because the chart says you can doesn't mean you should. A few practical tips you can use right away. First, always check density altitude as part of your pre-flight weather briefing every time, even at your home airport, especially in summer. Make it as routine as checking the winds. Second, use the Koch chart if you want a quick reference. It's in the Aeronautical Information Manual, and it gives you a rough percentage increase in takeoff distance and decrease in rate of climb based on temperature and pressure altitude. It's not a substitute for your actual performance charts, but it's a great sanity check. Third, fly early. In the summer, the best flying is in the morning. By 2 or 3 in the afternoon, density altitude is at its worst. If you can plan your departure for early morning, you're giving yourself a huge margin. Fourth, lean the mixture for takeoff at high-density altitude airports. This is in your pilot's operating handbook. At high elevations, the mixture is too rich at full forward. You're actually losing power. The POH will tell you the proper procedure, and it's worth practicing with your instructor. And fifth, know your personal minimums. If your calculated takeoff distance is more than 70% of the available runway, think hard. If it's more than 80%, I'd say find another option. You want margin for error, because errors happen. I also want to mention one thing that gets overlooked. Density altitude doesn't just affect takeoff, it affects your entire flight. Your cruise speed will be lower than book values, your service ceiling is effectively reduced, and your approach and landing speeds might need adjustment too, because your true airspeed is higher than indicated at high density altitudes, which means your ground speed on final is faster than you might expect. If you're flying into a high elevation airport, plan for a longer ground roll on landing too. Everything takes more space and more time when the air is thin. Let's bring it back to the weather briefing for a second. When you get your briefing, whether that's through 4Flight, through 1-800-WEATHER-BRIEF, or through the Aviation Weather Center online, look at the temperature and altimeter setting for your departure and destination airports. Run the density altitude calculation for both. And if either one is pushing your comfort zone, adjust your plan. The best pilots I've ever flown with aren't the ones who can handle anything. They're the ones who plan so well that they never have to. That's what I want for you. I want you to see density altitude coming a week out. I want you to check the forecast and say, you know what, Thursday afternoon is going to be brutal. Let's move the lesson to Friday morning. That's not being timid. That's being smart. All right, let me leave you with this. Density altitude is invisible. You can't see it. You can't feel it until it's too late. But you can calculate it. You can plan for it, and you can respect it. And if you do those three things every single time, it will never bite you. Today's discussion drew from guidance published by the Federal Aviation Administration, including the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge and the Aeronautical Information Manual, along with safety resources from the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association and the National Transportation Safety Board Accident Database, which unfortunately has more density altitude accidents in it than any of us would like. Radio Hangar is an AI-generated broadcast put together by people who genuinely love aviation and want to help you become a safer pilot. You can find more at radiohangar.com. I am Pattern. Go run those numbers before your next flight, especially if there's any heat in the forecast. Your airplane will thank you, and so will your passengers. Radio Hangar, keep the blue side up.